So the battle of the clubs is now over. Duryodhana lies dying on the ground, and there's a dialogue between him saying how good he is and Krishna. I just wanted to open up a little bit on that because it encapsulates the situation as it stands at the moment. You may remember that Duryodhana had said that how he had very much obeyed the Dharma of a Kshatriya. He'd followed the Vedas. He'd given to charity. He looked after the people that he governed. He'd had respect for the elders, well, question mark there, but nevertheless, he pointed out that he actually had a good life, anyway, as far as he was concerned. And up in the heavens above, can you believe it, the Gandhavas struck up music, they were playing to this, and the Apsaras, the celestial nymphs, were singing and dancing the praise of Duryodhana, and the Siddhas, those enlightened beings, were throwing down flowers and blossoms and so on, and a very sweet breeze had come up. And then this disembodied voice had said, and he pops in every now and then throughout the Mahabharata, saying, Duryodhana has been foully killed. Well, at that, the poor Pandavas looked pretty miserable, pretty downcast. So they looked at Krishna, but Krishna said, don't feel bad. Such ways, in other words, the playing of trickery and what have you, are quite acceptable when one is facing a very powerful enemy, especially if it's a deceitful enemy. And what he pointed out was that ultimately, all those other great leaders, Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and so on, were followers of Duryodhana, and therefore they were as sinful as him, and therefore it justified their death. And also he did point out, he said, well, without using my powers, first of all, I promised you that I'd look after you. Looked after you, but I'd relieved Earth of her burden. And without that, there'd be no question we would not have won that war. So anyway, as the sun was going down, they entered their chariots and they pushed off towards the encampment of the Kauravas. And when they arrived there, and this usually what happened to this situation, they're after the spoils of war, treasury, all these bits and pieces and things. It was absolutely deserted. Just a few of the servants are wandering around and so forth. And they went immediately for Duryodhana's tent. And just before they got to the tent, Krishna said to Arjuna, step down from the chariot, but bring Gandhava and bring your two inexhaustible quivers with you. And so without questioning it, but looking a bit puzzled, Arjuna came down. And as soon as he came down, the chariot burst into flames. Hanuman, who'd been in the banner of the chariot, jumped down a little bow and he disappeared. And then within a very short time, the whole of the chariot was in ashes. And so Arjuna said to Duryodhana, he said, what has happened here? If you're able to tell me for my benefit, what has happened here? So Krishna pointed out that the chariot had received so many astras, so much celestial weaponry, particularly the Brahmastra. That was the one from Karna and from Bhishma that having shot up into the air, thousands upon thousands of arrows emanated from it. He said the chariot had received and it's only my powers that actually held it together. And now, of course, it's over and so is the life of the chariot. So after that, they went inside the tent of Duryodhana, a vast tent, a bit like an empty arena, so it is said. And there are a few servants around, but that's all. But on the far side, the biggest part of the tent was the treasury. There was gold, silver, gems, jewellery, piles upon piles. Not only that, there were skins, there were silks, there were blankets, and a whole lot of servants that went with it to look after it. Anyway, they had all the they had all the treasury put on the chariots and sent off for Hastinapura, the city of the elephant. And then Krishna said to the Pandavas, he said, follow the tradition of a victor as yourselves. In other words, the first night after your victory, sleep here. sleep in the camp of the defeated. And they say, so they agree to that. And just before that, actually, Yuyutsu, remember the last, the half-caste brother of Dhritarashtra was there, and he embraced Yudhishthira. He's the one, remember, had come from the Kauravas and had joined the Pandavas. And Yudhishthira asked that he should go back and comfort Gandhari and comfort Dhritarashtra, so he left. But just before, after this, Yudhishthira went to Krishna and said, can you please help us? Because I'm very concerned that with all the ascetic powers that Gandhari, the queen, has, she would could well curse Bhima for the foul blow that killed her number one son. And also she would be very, very upset with the loss of all her sons, having no protection for her or her husband through these sons. And could you go first and really smooth the way for us coming? So Krishna said, yes, certainly. He immediately instructed Daruka, his charioteer. They got their chariot ready and they were off. And after some time, they came to the outskirts of Hastinapur, the city of the elephant. There he met Vyasa, nothing significant. He bowed to him, he knelt before him, touched his feet, he got a blessing, and he moved on to the palace. Inside the palace, absolute dead silence, nothing going on at all. And he went into the throne room, and there was Dhritarashtra in tears, and Gandhari sobbing a little bit quietly. And it was dawn, the light was beginning to come through the windows, and the actual incense smoke could be seen against it. And in the background was the weeping and wailing of the wives and loved ones of all those that had died. And Krishna was a smoothie. He was a great diplomat, and he himself in tears went over to Dhritarashtra and said, you know, it is because of your policies. We tried and tried again to make peace, but Duryodhana wouldn't have it. How many times did we come to you? And think what suffering the Pandavas had had through Duryodhana's action, the 13 years, the Draupadi, Abhimanyu, all this. But he put it very gently, tears and all this sort of stuff. And Dhritarashtra, he had to agree. But then he went on immediately to Gandhari and said to Gandhari, Gandhari, please don't be upset. You remember, just before the battle, you said to Duryodhana, when Duryodhana came to seek your blessing, you said to him, victory will be where righteousness is. But he didn't heed it. And look what disaster has come. Please don't curse him. The Yudhishthira loves you, the Pandavas love you, and they would want to be part of your family, a family again. Anyway, he talked in these very gentle ways and, if you like, paved the way for the visit of Yudhishthira later. Back at the battleground, the three, Ashwatthama, Kripa, and Kripavan, they had picked up, messengers had told them, of the death of Duryodhana. And so immediately they got into their chariots and they went over to Duryodhana where the fight had taken place. Remember, on the northern part of Kurukshetra. And it was a sorry sight. Blood all over him. He was obviously in agony, and he was writhing around at what... And also in the background, hovering around were the hyenas and the wolves ready to move in, the flesh eaters, as soon as he died. And when they went over to him, they immediately rushed and saw him, and there were tears, and then Ashwatthama, crikey, went on and on. He was saying really how terrible this was. Here was here you were, the king who put the foot on all other kings, was the commander of the world, lived in, slept on silks, and now you were eating the dust. He went on and on. I don't know, not entirely the thing you expect Duryodhana to take on board. Anyway, he was pretty furious for the simple reason that not only of the foul blow that had killed Duryodhana, the king, but also of the death of his own father. That still burned within him. And he said, by all my sacrifices, I swear here and now that I will go and I will kill in front of Krishna the Pandavas and the remnants of the army. And after a while, the king said, well, you know, he was grateful. He said, thank you very much. I will now put you commander-in-chief of my army. Three people. Anyway, Kripa went off down to the river, down to the Ganges. He got over a receptacle, brought it up with water in it, and Ashwatthama was anointed with the water and made commander-in-chief of the army. And after that, they bade farewell. So the king said, you must go now and leave me. and they headed out to the south towards one of the edges of forest area, and they stopped there for a little while, and then they really got quite nervous because they felt that it wasn't safe there, so they moved further to the east and encamped for the night. Now, Aswatthama spent some time thinking how on earth he could do this. And all the others had gone to sleep because they were so tired. But he looked up at an enormous banyan tree nearby, and he noticed a whole branch full of crows, all asleep. Then suddenly, a big owl swooped in and started killing them, biting their heads off, biting their legs off, and they were falling on all the ground near them. And that gave him the idea. And he immediately recognized that it was could be a night battle that he could go in and he could fight and he would kill the lot. And he woke up the others and told them about this plan. They didn't like it at all. They didn't find it acceptable. But eventually he won them round and they all moved off to the encampment of the Pandavas to put into being their really very sinful plan. My time is up, so let's see what happens next time. If you have been listening, thanks very much. Goodbye.